You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Hello, Bill.
It's cold outside.
It is. And can you, I made a big faux pas. We're in the middle of November. We're recording this in the middle of November.
Yes, we are.
And I just had a reference that this was actually October. And when they reminded me it was November, a part of my soul died.
I know. We lost another month.
We lost another month. Absolutely lost another month.
But it's that nice cold where it's like, it's like the steam in my coffee.
Yeah.
Is actually up. It's so good. Can you see the steam?
Yes.
It's steaming. So I'm so happy to be outside right now in a hoodie with coffee with you.
Yeah, and you may be wondering if you're watching the video why we're out and about. The reason why is because our normal place in Fuego in downtown McKinney was recently flooded out. So lift up Ryan and the entire in Fuego community as they go through that remediation and insurance and get everything back up. And we hope that you open up soon, Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, praying for
everything
you.
Everything locked in. So
because it wasn't even his fault. It's funny that there was a fire at a cigar shop.
And it wasn't his fault at all. It was upstairs.
Like, well, that's typical. Like, but no, it wasn't even him. So I don't know. It's just.
Anyways, thanks for checking in for Known Legacy. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, info@KnownLegacy would be great. You can follow us on Facebook. Yes. We are now launching on Rumble.
Rumble.
That's where you'll find all of our videos on Rumble. Rumble.
We'll have that link in the bottom of where we have this. So, yeah.
And Kyle, good to see you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good to have you here.
It is good to have you here.
So, Bill, question for you.
Yes, sir.
I know, you know, for those who may just listen, you may not know this, but Bill is a redhead. And we love Bill.
He is.
And all of his fantastic, luscious locks of hair, as we say. Yes.
They're getting less luscious.
But I would say at some point in life.
Just less.
They're still luscious. They're still luscious. There's just less of you.
Nicknames. Did you have a nickname growing up?
I did.
What was your nickname? How'd you get it? Did you like it? Okay. Did you not like it? Tell us the story.
I actually did. Okay. My nickname was Sparky.
Sparky?
Yes. So, and the reason why is...
I can't wait to hear the
story. I know,
story.
I know. Well, so I was at a Boy Scout camp when I was a kid. And, okay. And I had bought one of those... Because, you know, when you're at a camp like that and you get like $8, you're like, whoa, I can buy everything all year. That's when like iced tea was like... $1 for that giant can. I don't know if they still are, but those like...
Shockingly enough, they still are.
It might have been 50 cents. I don't know, but it was amazing. And so we're like, this is awesome. So anyway, so on the counter along with this awesome iced tea was this like fire starter, like those little Flint fire starter things. And so I was just messing around.
Yes.
And I was still in like the area where you get like your drink and snack and stuff like that.
Did you start a fire?
Well, so there was this little bit of like dried grass, hay, whatever. And I was like, wasn't even thinking. I was on a picnic table and I'm like, oh, whoosh, 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 and like, and all of a sudden I'm doing it and I'm getting better sparks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
no
yeah,
one's
yeah.
stopping me.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm like, and all of a sudden, like, it doesn't, like, blow up, but, like, it's about there. I mean, there's just sparks everywhere because, you know, just trying to, like, get this thing started. And some guy's, like, stop. He goes, whoa, 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 Sparky. What are you doing? And he's like, you're going to burn this place down. And I'm like, and literally that's, and from that point on, it was Sparky. I was like, oh, okay. And so that was how I got my name. Do you have a nickname?
I've had so many nicknames. It may not shock you, but I've had.
Time out. Do you just give us the clean one? Okay. It's all we need. This is a family show, kind of.
Okay, so probably the one that I disliked the most was given to me by my sister, and so my family affectionately called me this name, okay. And it was Pasty. And so when I was growing up, sixth grade, I started going to performing arts school, and theater was my thing. And okay. As a theater kid, you have to learn how to wear makeup, and there's nothing like a junior high boy. Going through all of that and having to learn how to put on makeup. So I was I was in a play, and I forget the name of the play, and I was playing the old man. And so I had to put a lot of base makeup and then draw in the age lines that up close look horrible, but from a distance actually give the illusion of age, you know. And I remember.
I draw mine on every day now.
Yeah, mine just come natural
they
now.
They just come natural.
And anyways, I was at home after rehearsal, dress rehearsal, and I was zonked out on the couch, and my sister comes in, and she starts picking on me, and she goes, "You are so pasty." And ever since then, I was known as paste in my
That's
family.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it.
Did you find a way to get rid of it, or do they still call you pasty now?
They shockingly enough, don't refer to each other by our childhood nicknames anymore.
Okay.
Sparky, but I think we could bring it back.
We're going to hold off on that.
Kyle, how about you?
I didn't really have a lot. The one thing I do remember is I was on a baseball team, and the coach couldn't pronounce my name, Kyle. So he pronounced it Cal.
Cal.
And so, and I just remember visions of my dad's red face because they would, I grew up in Mid Ohio. They actually announced us if we ran on the field. It was a big deal. And then the coaches would announce because he knew the names and how to pronounce them. But Cal Metcalf, and my dad would get so mad.
Oh yeah!
And then of course all the teammates, hey Cal, good play, Cal.
Good play, Cal.
So that was the only one I could think of.
Excellent. Well, today we have a special guest, and it kind of sparked us because our guest has a very unique name, an inspiring name. I think one of the coolest names you could possibly.
He's actually
ever
one
have.
Of my favorite Avengers. To be honest with you, he really is. So I was super pumped when you called and said I got this guy.
So let's give it up for Rocket.
Good morning, Rocket.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about your name or nickname or, give us a scoop on this.
Give us your origin story.
So, unfortunately, Travis, I am going to burst your bubble a little bit. Rocket is actually a nickname.
Oh, okay.
Really? Okay.
But I have, my whole life I've gone by it. If you were to call me by my actual first name, which is Robert, I wouldn't know that you mean me.
Yeah. Really?
I would literally not. I people at work think they have addressed me that way, and I have walk right past, not knowing that they're talking to me.
So how'd you get the name Rocket?
Yeah, and
then
happen?
More importantly, how have you held on to that amazing name for so long?
Like, that's a stud name.
Yeah.
Well, so in elementary school, it is not a stud name. Let me just assure you of that. No.
What?
I think it sounds awesome.
The Texas Roadhouse, Rocket. Party of two, Rocket. Yeah. Party of two. I think that's fantastic.
I love that you talk like you immediately went back to food. We always so every single one of our questions has been food, and he found a way to bring it back. High five.
You're welcome.
I'm
You're welcome.
Proud of you
You're
right
welcome.
Now.
So no, when I was getting bored, my parents could not agree on what to call me.
Okay.
They were going through a divorce, and this was so naming a child that right there you're gonna fight about something, why not that, right?
Yeah.
And my biological father insisted that I be named Robert Glenn Williams IV, or third, excuse me, not the fourth. There's a story to that one too, but the third and that was it. But you know, nobody else was going to, they weren't acquiescing for that. I have an older brother who's just under 3 years older.
Hmm.
His favorite toy was Evel Knievel's motorcycle.
Yes.
And
I like
it had
this
a
guy.
Plastic tab that you would pull out and then this would fly across the floor.
Yes.
Well, it's Evel Knievel's motorcycle's name is Rocket.
Wow.
That's what he started calling me, and everybody said, well, that's just what we're going to call him. It wasn't until I had to go get a driver's license and I had to look at my birth certificate that I realized that wasn't
my name. That wasn't my name.
Have you looked at, like, officially changing your name to Rocket Robert?
You know, at this point, probably not. I just, at 50, it's there.
It's there.
It's there. There. There are people I've known for years who did not know that was not the case.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate you being here today on such a blustery morning. Yeah. We hope the rain holds off.
It should be nice.
And just to start off with, as you know, like, our heart and our passion is that we would help guys wake up, gear up, and come alive.
Yeah.
And I think the way that Rocket and I know each other is he goes to one of the churches that my family attends, actually, the Grove Church over in Argyle, Texas. And he has an amazing passion to connect people who are first-time visitors and guests. Like, I remember many a time I'd be in deep conversation with someone, and Rocket would come running over to me, bounding over to me, almost blasting off towards me.
Would you say bounding like a raccoon?
Rocket.
He just caught that one.
That was good.
That was good.
That was really good. That was really good.
I just wanted to throw this out there.
That was really good. That was amazing.
Timeout.
Anyways.
Sorry, my bad.
So, and he'd come over, and he would, in like, interrupt the conversation because I'm talking to a guy that's been at the church for years, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, a new family. I just met him. Here's the data. Like, here's the names. You need to go meet him right now. And that wasn't just a one-time deal. Like, that's his passion and his heart to make sure that people who are unconnected or feel disconnected are embraced by community. And that's and that posture has been led by him but is now embraced amongst many in that congregation and that church, which is just awesome to see.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that a fair assessment?
I would say so. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that I really love it and enjoy it. And I think about it, you know, it's two parts. Number one, we are getting a chance to go talk to people who maybe they are not know Christ at all.
Right.
Yeah, and
we actually, one of the people that I started talking to very quickly, he got baptized about 3 weeks ago.
Yes. And
it's one of those times when God gives us the opportunity to like, hey, I'm going to go to work through you and, you know, don't mess this up. Okay. But yeah, no, I think it is something good. And I'll be honest, it's about being a man and, you know, being a father. I've kind of trained my children that if you see somebody new, if you see them sitting alone,
yeah,
you don't let them do that. I don't care if I'm not here. You go and you say, I'm going to go greet this people. I'm going to make sure that they know they are welcome and that they're valued the minute one, because God does it already.
So I think every church preaches that's important, and yet I would say vast majority of Christians, faithful followers of Christ, struggle with that. What was your journey from hearing that that's a value and important to living it out in such a way that you're pressing it into the hearts of the kids? Because at the end of the day, that's a discipleship that we're always wrestling
with.
You know, how do you take that concept, start to live it out, and then press it into the next generation?
You know, one of the things that I think that as Christians we have a tendency to sometimes be passive, and wrongfully so. I don't mind saying wrongfully passive. When I met my wife, she was not a believer. One of the things is we started being together, and I kind of told her that, you know, before we got too far, if she, you know, I wasn't going to spend my life with somebody I wasn't going to say in the next life.
Right.
You know, it made it clear.
Yeah,
that
very
was,
true.
And, you know, and very thankfully, my wife is a believer, and, you know, she actually co-leads the women's group. It's an amazing story. But that, I think, was one of the things when I realized that I have this role, that it's really say, oh, well, I did that for my wife. But, you know, looking at scripture, looking at things, just talking to God, realized, no, that was an easy one. Now you have to do that every day. That, you know, and that was kind of really the start of me going, okay, no more passivity about this. This is...
So where did that desire come from, though? Like, I mean, did something happen, or was it ingrained in you? Kind of where did that desire, like, I need to reach these people who have nobody?
You know, to be honest, I think, and I kind of push it back a little bit to that point, but I remember myself being in the Navy. I'm a Navy veteran.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. But falling away from God a bit. And it happens a lot because you're out on your own. You know, it's not to say it's ungodly, but the reality is it's a different life. And realizing that I was empty without God, and in not understanding that why I was so empty, and literally until later in life, I was like, oh, that's why I was empty. And I realized that if I was feeling that way and not realizing I was so empty, what do I need to do to make sure that other people know that they don't have to be empty either?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd grown up in the church, but I think sometimes you take for granted being in a church, being in a stable church.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you go through your own period of emptiness, you go, okay, well, let me, if I was that way and I realized, oh, gosh, God's still there for me. He was always there for me. It was me that was walking away. How do I go help other people not feel so empty, even if they don't realize how empty they are? So that's those two things.
I love it.
So earlier on when you were talking about your epic, fantastic, most wonderful nickname, Rocket, you kind of quickly mentioned that your parents were going through a divorce when you were being born and in those very formative years. How has that informed you? Because I see you like uber invest in your children extremely well. Like, they are very well adjusted, amazing, servant-hearted young men. And so share with us kind of like, what was that like for you to go through that? And how did you, because often we replicate what we experienced and what we saw. And sometimes if we grow up in a house without a dad, it's hard to know what it means to be a good father and stuff like that. So kind of walk us, if you're comfortable, go through that journey. What was that like for you?
So my biological dad was not around in for very good reasons and probably a very good thing. I did have a stepdad who, you know, we, like a lot of kids, there's kind of a rough relationship, but it was there. But when I got to be a father, and I think, you know, it's that first minute that you see your child and you go, okay, this is a, I think as men, we feel a lot of weight, like, oh wow, I'm now responsible for this.
Yeah.
But also the unbridled joy of this is my son, and I, you know, and that's our thing. And so we are, when that happened, I was like, wait a minute, this is where I need to be investing my time. This is what's really important.
True success, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's awesome.
And you know, and it kind of started from there and realizing that if I'm here for them, if I'm doing the very best I can, that's what's expected of me. That's what God expects. And I have been blessed with two boys. And it is it's utterly amazing to get to have that experience. And, you know, I can't claim credit. The Holy Spirit works in them. It's not my work.
Yeah.
You know, just to get to see that and enjoy that and realize this is what God intended for men.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I believe
absolutely.
That. I without question. Everybody's path is different.
Yeah.
But God intended you as a father to be active, involved, to be loving, and that is actually a reward that's indescribable.
So, this is going to be a little bit out of left field, but so there's maybe a dad who's a stepdad that's listening mm-hmm. in, and you've had the journey of being a stepchild. Mm-hmm. What words of encouragement would you say to a dad who's struggling to be the best stepdad that he can be to his kids, realizing there's different dynamics and everything else? But is there anything that you would really like lay into them, say, man, continue to lead in this lane and just be faithful there? What encouragement would you give them?
You know, to be honest, what I would tell them is that no matter what you're doing, you know, first of all, we're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Accept that it's okay that you're going to make mistakes. The second thing is you can love someone who is not your biological child as much as your child. God puts families together, and he doesn't necessarily care about biology. And I think, you know, sadly, we see it more these days of divorce and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, that's a whole long discussion. But when it comes to you create these blended families, you can realize that God is just blessing you that much more and say, okay, you know what, look, this is actually a gift that I've gotten, and let me love those children and you know, understand it, gonna make mistakes. There's all kinds of dynamics. But if you can love them for what they are, which is a blessing,
right,
then you're gonna do okay.
Yeah, yeah. So what would you say to the dad who has walked away and feels like he can't get back in, he's failed, but he's reconciled with the Lord and is like, what do I do? Like, what kind of encouragement would you give him, that guy who's feels like, man, I have made a mess, so how do I start this over again?
You know, and it's not a trope. It may sound like it to somebody out there, but God gives us an unending number of chances.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Let me
Amen.
Assure you.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I need new ones today.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. Yeah,
it's early in the morning and I've already messed it up. So, but the truth is, God, you know, gives you that opportunity with children that you know, maybe you've, anybody that you've messed up with your life, particularly, you know, as a father and your children, you may have done
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have, there's no set number of chances to keep trying. Sometimes it's harder, sometimes it's easier.
Yeah.
But understand, once again, if you make that effort as a father, I think it's going to be okay. Don't stop trying.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, there's every day we need new chances, and God gives an unending chance, and I think God gives that unending chance to be a good father.
Yeah.
So you said you have two boys. How old are they?
16 and 10.
16 and 10. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that was a gap and a half.
Yeah. Yes, it was. You know, our older son was he was a lot as a toddler.
He was a lot.
He was. We're just going to say
that.
Yeah, you know,
it's okay.
You know,
he is going to be a world leader, is what you're saying.
Yes,
I have no doubt.
Yeah. But no, he was a lot as a toddler, and then when we finally got to the point, I said, "Hey, you know, we want to have another child." It took us a little bit longer to have it. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. I'm 50. My wife is 48.
Yep.
So you know,
it's okay.
We're late 30s. But I think that it was also one of those things where we looked at it and said, you know, this is God's plan for us when it happens. And it's kind of funny because my wife said, hey, if I'm not pregnant by 38, we're done. Like, okay, God said, you're getting one kid. And, you know, since our both of our sons' birthdays are in October, which means we're obviously we're bored in January.
It's cold month.
If I back up by nine.
What do we get? Saving some money, turned down the heat, got a cuddle. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. But she said, you know, she was like, well, we kind of figured that, okay, it wasn't going to happen. We're going to have a second child.
Yeah.
Sure enough, close to her birthday, well, something didn't happen like it's supposed to, and that's when Nathaniel was coming. That's
I absolutely love it. I love it.
It's like, honey, I got a gift. I got a present for you in here. But it's your birthday. And oh man, well that's awesome. That is so cool. So now you're a 16-year-old. What grade is he in now?
He's a sophomore.
Okay.
In high school, almost a sophomore in college at the same time.
Okay, is he doing dual credit kind of stuff, or
he is? He's actually co-enrolled at UT. They have a great program here called On Ramps.
Okay.
And for the kids who are very smart and special, and everybody thinks their kid is smart. Seth is uniquely special.
Yes. Yes.
But
agreed.
You know, he is enrolled in pre-cal also at UT, and they actually, it's not even just an AP course. The grade he gets is actually the grade he gets. And then of course
for college.
Wow. And he'll transfer that obviously if that's not where he chooses to go. But yeah, so we kind of make the joke. He's a sophomore and a sophomore at the same time.
Sometimes. And so, is he going to go to that school after, or are you still deciding on colleges?
Yeah, how do you decide?
Well, that is funny. As we are still in the process of trying to figure that. Well, he's in the process, and we're at the stage of let's eliminate schools. Let's just say this is either on the list or not on the list.
Okay. Okay.
And you know that has been that's been quite its own journey.
How and, so?
Well, you know, it's funny as Travis and I were talking about this a couple of months ago. You know, everybody starts out looking at, okay, what's a good school for your academics? What's a good school for what you want to do? What are all these things that student life, stuff like
right,
that.
Yeah. Right.
And very important. I'm not going to tell you it's not.
Yeah.
But something else that we started looking at was, let's talk about your faith and where you go to school and how that affects your faith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we kind of very come up with this four categories of school. The first category is a place like Concordia, where you might want to go and your job is to, it's preparing you for a career in the service of the Lord.
Okay.
And I'd like to believe, not having ever gone to it, but it's very supportive of you, you know, your faith and doing that.
Being an alum of a Concordia, very supportive.
And you know, that's great. It is wonderful. The second kind of school that we named about, and I'm going to use some names for schools here in Texas. Are schools where you go and your faith is accepted, it's normal. Like, we looked at, like, Texas A&M.
Right.
You know, and as a place, if you say, hey, you know, Sunday morning, I can't go do this with you, I'm headed to church. It's, you know, that people are not going to look at you.
There's a common theme. Like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Like, you got a third eye.
It's a part of the culture.
It is.
It's an accepted part of that culture, for sure.
I will say this, my alma mater is Texas.
Okay.
And I love the school, and there's a lot of great things about it. But it is not a school where necessarily your faith is an accepted part of the culture.
Mm.
You're not going to be, it's not overly going to be held against you. But at the same time, there are people who, you know, they're going to look at you a little weird.
Yeah.
And then we looked at the fourth type of school, which is a school that maybe is going to kind of ask you to, for lack of a better term, renounce your faith in exchange for their faith. If you go look at a school like MIT, and it's a wonderful academic school, but faith is not something that's expected there. And as a matter of fact, they want you to have that faith in science. If you look at schools like Berkeley, I mean, you know, it's kind of the same thing.
Interesting.
And in looking at this, and, you know, this is something we proposed to Seth, Seth is my older son's name.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, all four of these schools may be the right place for you to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you think about it, where you're at in your faith journey, you might need a place like a Concordia, like, boy, I need somebody, you know, kind of reinforcing my faith every day.
Strength, yeah.
You may be in your faith journey and say, you know, I don't need that, but I need to be at a place where it's accepted. You might be at a place in your faith journey where you say, you know what, God's telling me to go be the lone voice in the wilderness. Ooh. And I'm going to show you that I could be at a place that is, you know, academically well-respected, that there is, you know, that I can be a top student here, and I can be a person of faith, and maybe you're reaching out.
Mm.
And that's it's just one of the things we've asked him to look at and consider. Where is he at in his faith? Where is God telling him to go? And knowing that none of them are wrong.
Yeah.
And
but each of them offers up a unique challenge.
Yeah, different values.
That if you're honest, you need to see God preparing you for that challenge, right? Mm-hmm. Because I would wager to bet the conversations you're going to have at Concordia are very different than the conversations you're going to have at like a UT, where you're the light on the, you know, you're the light, you're the city on the hill.
Yeah.
You're offering those who may have a preconceived notion of faith and of a Christian, and you're stepping in and giving them a different experience, but you better know your stuff. Because you know the counter arguments, and they have no problem coming at you in such a way that they would rejoice if you were to renounce your faith because of their clever arguments. And so you have to really be solid in that faith. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And there's two points I'd kind of respond to that. Number one is I have a nephew who had at one point growing up wanted to be a Catholic priest.
Hmm.
Eventually kind of renounced his faith because he started taking geology and said, well, you know, this is the science and it makes sense. It doesn't apply with Genesis. Like, okay. You know, different story.
Yeah.
But the other thing I would say is this, as far as knowing your stuff, not to question it.
No.
But here's the thing. God's word is not going to go out without fruit. And
yeah.
If you put your faith in the Holy Spirit, that whatever you're going to say is going to bear that fruit.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love for my son to know the Bible, and he does, and he knows it very well. But not putting your faith in your knowledge of the Bible, but putting your faith in God's Word and the Holy Spirit to do the work, that's the lesson I would love for him to have to go off.
That's why I wanted him on the podcast, because wisdom drops like that. That's fantastic.
No, that's good, because I do think these are the things that, especially for parents out there who are trying to figure out, man, school's coming up, because it always comes down to academics. If they can get a good scholarship,
right?
If they're going to walk away and go, man, because then that equals a good job, and it's, which at this point it may not, honestly, like it may just may not. So I think you're right. There's value. Even as we were having our son go to school, we're like, one of our things was, is there a local church that you're going to be a part of? And so knowing that there's some kind of connection there, it's not in the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind to go, okay, like you said, you're going in with the intention that there is brokenness here, and you have an opportunity to either be a part of that brokenness or to help heal that, you know, heal that brokenness. And so I love that you've made that a big litmus, because all those schools are good, except for MIT. Like, based on Good Will Hunting, I couldn't even be a janitor at MIT. But other than that, I think I'd probably make it.
The documentary?
Documentary.
The documentary, Good Will Hunting. Yes.
Exactly. Looking at equations and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, but I get the idea of going, okay, part of my value system, parents, those looking is, where spiritually, where does this affect me? Because we have taken that somewhat out of the conversation so many times from families. I think it's there in the back, like, okay, they'll maybe find something, but it's not in the forefront. It's got to be brought to the forefront again. So I appreciate that conversation about that. So hey, how has he responded to those conversations with you?
You know, I think he's actually responded very well, listening in the idea of it, and we've talked about it, and he recognizes it. He's still at the stage of visiting schools and going, do I see myself here?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's added that light to it of, you know, hey, look, of all the schools that are good for what he wants to do, which is pre-med, what are the schools that, and I'm going to say this, are good for him spiritually? Yeah. And I don't just mean, hey, am I supported? But spiritually, am I going forth and baptizing all nations? Is that really, because, you know, we obviously, we don't store up earthly treasures, we store up heavenly treasures and things like that. And obviously, I don't want him to fail out of anything, but if he was to go to a school and say, you know what, I had professors that were just completely against me because I said, you know, this is my faith, this is what I believe, and they didn't like it. Congratulations, that's a win right there.
Right.
Fantastic. Yeah, exactly.
You know, we don't deny Christ. I mean, I will say that I won't lie to you and say I've been perfect my whole life and haven't denied Christ. You know, we all have those failings. If we can help him, then we're good. And if he can help others.
I love it. No, I was just reading some scripture today. I think it was in John. I can't remember, but I know it was definitely in 1 John, about the darkness that truly hates, that hates those who are followers of Christ. And so there's this almost this like innate value that, like, I just don't like you simply because you're a follower of Jesus, and I don't know why I don't like you. Almost like a kind of an unholy irritation that if we walk in with that mindset to go, okay, I'm walking in here knowing my teachers, possibly my RA, those around me may not like me. Am I ready for that? That's kind of a good question. So.
And it goes to Jesus sending out the 72, and with that wisdom of discerning people in places of peace.
Yeah.
And Nineveh was a place of peace, even though everyone in Israel thought it was not. It's because the Holy Spirit had done the hard work beforehand and sent that prophet, Jonah, to Nineveh to proclaim, you know, that message. But to be able to realize, you know what, this conversation is in a place of peace. I don't need to try and win them over.
Yeah.
I can just walk away.
Yeah.
And trust the Spirit to do what the Spirit needs to do for the next one and the next conversation, the next conversation.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I love, because then the other thing that God's been really challenging me with is hardships. Like, I think some, and suffering, even me as a parent, I'm like, I want to reduce hardships in my kid's life, even as a follower of Jesus, that I know we're going to have hardships. And I think there's something in saying, man, if your child goes to college and has hardships, it doesn't mean you failed. In fact, it may be exactly what God has in store in the idea that, wow, this stinks, but God has me here. So I love that. I love that. So,
well, and you never know the things that you do. You may never know the fruit that it bears years later.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and what you might see as a failing, and I'll say this, is not a failing. It is in God's plan. God had a reason that whatever that was happened, good, bad, or indifferent. And the truth is, trust, just have faith that, God's word's not going without fruit. No matter what you're dealing with, it has something, you know, it's there.
Love it, love it, love it. Rocket, fantastic. So much appreciate you coming on and sharing some wisdom. And I appreciate you wrestling with the big stuff and not just kind of helping kids wrestle with the big stuff. So I know we do have some questions for you.
Yes, we do.
This is our fabulous, fun, fantastic Fast Five.
Well, that was a lot more F's than we normally use. Wow, you really alliterated that amazingly and awesomely.
I did there with all the A's. I did. It was you know, imitation, not nearly as good as the
imitation
original.
But anyways, flattery,
keep going.
All right, anyway, so let's go into question number one, Rocket. Who do you most admire and why?
There's so many great ones to choose, but probably Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay,
he was truly a manly man. And what I mean by that, you know, all the things we talk about that he did, but he was one of those people that stuck by his convictions and his faith. You know, there's not stories of him compromising. And I think that's an important lesson for Christians, for men. We don't compromise, no matter how hard it is, if it's an easy decision or it's going to benefit you.
Yeah.
We stick to our morals and suffer whatever consequences, good or bad, for them.
That's awesome. That's
fantastic.
Awesome. Where would you like to go on a vacation?
I am always someplace tropical and warm and sunny where I can scuba dive and sail. So anywhere in the Caribbean.
Ooh, that sounds good. I love it. I love it. Taking the whole family, going
always.
There. Like beach days are amazing. Let's just go now. Just go.
You know what? On a day like today where it's cold and about to rain.
Today's the day.
I could do some Cancun.
I know. Gosh.
I could do some.
Cancun would be nice.
For the record, it's only 65.
I know. Isn't that
really
shocking
cold.
That we don't have mittens on and stocking caps?
That's about 15 degrees colder than my threshold.
Exactly. I will take it, though. I know.
Kyle bringing the truth. We don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like, wait, whatever, Kyle. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, realist. Appreciate you. Whatever. Thanks for your conviction. So.
Even though Bill and I come well insulated from our own blubber, but we're still chilled.
And we're good, I know, and we're still cold. Anyways, okay, moving on. Question number three, what are you currently reading, whether the Bible or another book?
Well, I'm always trying to read the Bible.
Okay.
The other book that I'm reading right now is called World on the Brink by Dmitry Alperovich.
Okay.
He was the founder of CrowdStrike. Mm. And it is a book about where we're at politically in the world with China, with Russia.
Wait a minute, there's political unrest?
I know.
What?
It's under the covers, like you don't really know.
Okay, I was wondering, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah,
so if you hear something, let me know, okay? Yeah. I'd like to stay informed.
One of the key parts of it is that we are in a Cold War with China. It's different than the Cold War we were in with the Soviet Union. And there's a lot of good things about how that's being played out and how the U.S. can win. And I'm not trying to be, you know, U.S.-centric about it.
Yeah.
But it is good to be aware of the things that are going on.
Oh, absolutely. Interesting. And what was the name of the book again?
World on the Brink.
World on the Brink. From who?
Dmitry Alperovich.
I'll let you spell that one.
Well, we won't have those in the notes. Okay. What's a goal you have for this year?
It's really being present in the moment. One of the things I find that in, you know, saying earlier, I failed at it. It was Halloween. Something came up at work that I had to literally finish by 8 the next morning. And rather than being present in the moment with my kids, you know, enjoying Halloween.
Yep.
I failed at it.
Had to get something done.
But being present in the moment with my kids, with my church, with my family. We were talking earlier about, like, you know, being there with new people.
Yeah.
Focusing on just being present, because you only have so much time.
Yeah.
And if you're busy thinking about other things, doing other things, you're really missing out a lot.
Yep.
That's good stuff. What is the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
No matter how hard this gets, don't give up. Just keep trying. It's going to be okay. No matter how bad it is, just keep trying. It's going to be okay.
Mm. I love it. Words of wisdom
I'm
today.
Telling you, the Rocket Man showed up.
Rocket Man! The whole time. It was there.
It was there.
And I didn't do it. There it is. You're welcome.
I was hoping you'd go there. Fantastic. Rocket, thank you so much for being here, man. Appreciate your words of wisdom. Thank you for being
a light
into your business space, into your family, and into the church and community and beyond. And I really appreciate it. Guys, thank you for checking us out at Known Legacy. As always, you can watch us on Rumble. You can listen to us on any of the podcasts. Leave a review if you so choose. info@knownlegacy.org if you have anything. And remember, guys, Bill's got a book out. It's audio as well as in Technicolor. Look at that right there. That's scary. I'll be honest with you. That's
there it is.
There you go.
More than Technicolor. You. Technicolor.
check it out if you haven't yet. It's been fun to see a bunch of churches start to buy into that and get full copies for all of the guys.
Yeah, we'd love to connect with you guys about that. So you can check it out at morethanyoubook.com or any of our ministries at knownlegacy.org. We'd love to stay connected with you guys.
And I'm gonna put this out there. I'm going to put this out there. Keep eye out, because we have a little bit of a retreat.
Yes, we do.
In the works and in the plans, and we're going to make that announcement here sooner than later.
Yes, we will.
And there's going to be spots available for about 30 plus. And so if you are interested in living in the DFW area, we have a retreat coming up for you in
the
new year.
We'd love to have you there. So.
Absolutely.
Guys, thanks for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of what you do to make an impact in your family and your future. And guys, remember, our whole goal is to help you wake up, gear up, and come alive to who God called you to be. Guys, have an awesome week, and we'll see you soon.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.